Welcome to the teaching ministry of Lee Wilson, international youth communicator and motivator. Now get ready to raise the standard and go to the next level.
Hello, this is Lee Wilson, and I'm so excited to come to you to bring to you this teaching on what to do to build quality youth workers. You know, I believe that there is no shortage of youth workers out there, and many of us have them in our youth ministry. We have good people, but they may not be at the quality you want them to be. So what do we do to build quality youth workers within our youth program? I believe that there are three things that every youth worker must have, the 21st century youth leader, as I like to say. And I'm going to share with you those things. And in this teaching, I believe that you'll have a better idea you'll be able to look at the leaders that you have within your program and also potential leaders that are getting involved. You'll be able to look at them and say, okay, here's what I expect out of every worker. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 15 says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." You know, I have to say, it's a shame that some people call themselves youth ministers, youth workers, or youth pastors, because as you look in their lives, they don't really have, they're not an example of what a youth leader should be. And, you know, and it just make it so much more difficult to reach young people. When we talk about quality, when we talk about building the right qualities within our lives as youth leaders, what are we talking about? Basically, qualities are this. They're the characteristics, the attributes, are essentials that you must have in your life. And you know, I've learned these things by working with a great man of God, my father in the ministry down in Houston, Texas, Dr. Ivy Hilliard. He taught me some qualities. He taught me some principles that I'll never forget. He taught me how to be a good husband. He taught me how to be a good preacher. He taught me how to serve my pastor. There's some qualities that I didn't know that he taught me. Now, when you start thinking about a car, you know, let me use this illustration. In thinking about a car, there are many things that come to pass, things that we just think right off the top of our heads, you know, like brakes and, you know, the steering wheel and the tires. You know, these things are very common. I mean, because you realize that car is not going to go anywhere. I mean, it'll go somewhere, but it won't stop if it didn't have brakes, you know, or if it didn't have a steering wheel, you wouldn't be able to turn it left or turn it right. These are very common things. But you know what? There are uncommon things that we never really think about that are just as important as these things I just read in the operation of a car. You know what? There are things like a transmission. You never see it. You know what? You don't even think about your transmission until it's not working properly. The transmission is just as important as the brakes. There's a thing called a camshaft. It's very, very important to your car and your car operating. Without it, your car wouldn't go anywhere. You know, or the pistons. These are things that you never see. The spark plug wires. All these things are important to your car. You may not ever see them, but without them, that car will not be successful. Well, just as there are common things and uncommon things in a car, there are also common things and uncommon things in dealing with young people. There are common things that we must keep in mind as we think about our youth workers that they must have in their life. Here's some of the common things. For instance, you know what? They must have a love for teenagers. You know, I think that's a common thing. You don't want anybody working with your young people that don't have a love for teenagers. You know, someone has always said, "I can't stand teenagers. I hate kids. I'm doing this because pastor asked me. I'm just doing this until a new thing opened up in the ministry." No, you want people that have a love for teenagers. They may not feel like loving them all the time, but they do have a heart for reaching young people. Number two, you want to have leaders. A common thing that leaders should have in their life is a vision. You want to have leaders that have a vision for young people. You don't want people to say, "Boy, you know what? It's hopeless. I don't think these teenagers are going to ever arrive. Boy, I don't think the Bible is true about, you know, that in the last days, young people are going to have visions and dreams. Oh, I just think they're all going to hell on the grease pole." No, 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 no. You want to have leaders that have a vision. This is common, you know. I don't want anybody working around me with young people and they don't have a vision for youth ministry. They don't have a vision for young people going somewhere in life. And then Number three, I believe that a common thing that every youth leader ought to have in their life is they ought to be committed. You know, you don't want someone that's, you know, on one, you know, 1 week and all 5 weeks. You want people that are very, very committed to reaching young people and working within the youth ministry. But there are also many uncommon things that are that every, I believe, successful youth leader must have. I want to turn your attention to the Bible, to Acts chapter 6, and verse number 1. And we see here how the scripture begins to talk about some things that every leader must have. Potential leaders, our leaders that we have working within our youth ministries, some qualities, some essentials, some principles, some attributes, some characteristics that they must have. You know what? I don't just want somebody that can just preach. I don't want somebody that just sings well. I don't want somebody that's gifted and just really knows teenagers and can talk their talk and maybe even walk like them or dress like them. There are some things that I'm looking for in my leaders and in my workers that you may not see on the outside, but they must have on the inside. Look what the Word of God says here in Acts chapter 6, verse 1, number 1. It says, "Now in those days, when the number of disciples were multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists, because their widows were neglected in their daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of disciples and said, 'It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business, but we will that we may give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word.'" You see, they were looking to see how good of a preacher someone was. They were looking to see how gifted someone was. They looked at some characteristics. They looked at some things that I believe is very, very critical in every youth leader. You know, I'm tired of hearing youth leaders coming in youth ministry and falling or, you know, leaving because of sin. I can tell you countless stories of youth pastors and youth workers that got into affairs or, you know, extra affairs outside of marriage or had sexual relationships or got involved in alcohol or even drugs because they did not have these qualities in their life. They were very, very talented. Some of them were very, very good ministers and can preach the cover off the Bible, but they lacked some lacked some characteristics and attributes in their life that were very, very important to helping them to maintain that anointing in their life. And no matter who you are, I don't care how many scriptures you know. I don't care what school you've been to. I don't care what church you're part of and how many members you have. If you lack the character that the Word of God says we should have in our life, if you lack the principles, the hidden principles of the Bible within your life, I'm going to tell you something. You will not succeed in youth ministry. You see, John Maxwell says, if you think you're leading and no one is following, then you're only taking a walk. Look behind you, youth leader. Look behind you, youth worker. Is there anybody following you? Is there anybody saying, you know what? When I grow, when I'm in this thing for a while, I want to be just like you. Now, I'm not saying that we should want to be in ministry because, you know, people want to, so people can follow us and try to duplicate our lives. But you know what? I don't believe that people should try to duplicate our personalities, but I know and I believe they should want to follow the principles that we live by. What kind of principles are you living before your workers? What type of characteristics are they looking in your life and they're seeing? Are they seeing someone that lies? Are they looking at someone that cheats? Are they looking at someone that always shows up late for everything? You know, these are important things that we need to do. They're looking for someone that's always looking, you know, for what we call the hookup. They're always looking for something cheap, someone that's not a giver, someone that talks to their wife or their husband any kind of way, someone that disrespects their pastor. What type of characteristics are we showing the workers that are working for us? Do we always have a bad attitude? Are we always talking about someone? See, these are things that we don't want people to follow behind. We want to show them what an example should be. And I'm going to share with you the three, I believe, must-have qualities of a 21st century youth worker. I mean, these are qualities these are the essentials. I mean, there are other things that you must have in your life. But I believe in order for us to successfully become the quality youth worker that we need to be, or have the quality youth workers that we must have in our youth ministry, these three things are very important. Number one, the 21st century youth leader must have unquestionable character. His character must be unquestionable. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 16, it says, however, for this reason, I obtain mercy that in me first, this is what Paul's saying. He says that in me first, Jesus Christ may show all longsuffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. That's some very important things I want to bring out of here. First of all, he says, I obtain mercy that in me first. You know, I believe before I ever tell one of my leaders, one of my workers, or any youth leader or youth pastor that they should live a certain way, I think that me first, I must first live those principles in my life. Now, nobody is perfect, and we all have things that we're still working on. But you know what? The small things in life, the small things that I can be doing, I'm going to make sure that I'm taking care of those things. Paul said, Timothy, I pray that God in me first show an example. And then I love what he says here, as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. See, when young people, young workers are coming up, they ought to be able to look at me, and I should be able to show them, and you should be able to show them a pattern to follow. How to serve your pastor. How to serve ungodly people. How to be a giver, you know? I mean, just the simple, the basics of life. These things are so very, very important. Let me tell you what character is. You know, there are many, many definitions of character. And you know what? There are a lot of good ones. But I want to simplify this thing for you. Basically this, character is who you are when no one is looking. Character is who you are when no one is looking. Who are you when no one is looking? When you're behind closed doors, when you're at home, when there's no pulpit, nobody stroking you and telling you how awesome you are, who you are, what type of decisions are you making? What things are you doing? What are you watching? What are you saying? What are you doing with your life behind closed doors? You see, that's who you really are. Not who you say you are from a stage or who you say you are to people, but what we do when nobody is looking. You know, one morning I went to a local store and I was rushing to get to work, and I was hungry and I wanted to have something to eat before the day got too late. And so I didn't have time to stop anywhere. I had time to stop at one place, and that was to get some gas. And so at this place where I got some gas, I decided I'm going to get one of these breakfast sandwiches they have. And so I decided to, get one of the breakfast sandwiches, put it in the microwave and warm it up. And as I opened it up to look at it, opened it up to put it in the microwave, I looked at it and I said, you know what, man, I don't want this thing. I mean, it didn't look like something that I wanted to eat at that time. So I had a decision to make. You know, I could act like I never opened that thing up. I can kind of just push it to the side, left it right there, and paid for my gas and, you know, gone on to work. But you know what, because I practiced to live a life of character, I decided not to do this. I took that sandwich and I went up to the counter, and the lady that was working at the counter, I said, ma'am, I opened up this sandwich and you know, I was going to buy it, but as I looked at it, I decided that I didn't want it. It didn't look like something I wanted to eat. And I just wanted to let you know, I'll pay for it if I have to, but I really, truly don't want this sandwich. She looked at me and she said, sir, I thank you so much. I appreciate you doing that, because there are so many people that come and they do that sort of thing, and they just leave it out, and they throw it away, and we never knew they did it. Appreciate you. Thank you for having integrity. You know, that's what I'm talking about. We must have this type of character in our lives, character that is unquestionable. Dr. Martin Luther King said that the ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in the moment of comfort and convenience, but where he stands at a time of challenge and controversy. What type of stand are you taking in your life? What type of decisions do you make when the heat is on? You see, life is choice-driven. We're going to live or we're going to die by the choices that we make. And Dr. King said that we'll know who we really are in a moment, not in moments of comfort and convenience, when everything is going fine, everything is going smooth. But when we have challenges, when controversy rises up in our life, when things are not going as smooth, that's when the true person is going to rise up in you. So I believe that the 21st century youth leader must have unquestionable character within his life. You see, character is not a gift, but it's a choice. You choose to have character in your life. You know what? Basically, anything we do in life is based upon a choice. The Bible tells us in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30, verse number 19, it says, I set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Therefore, choose life. God says, I want you to choose life. So, choosing character is choosing life. Choosing to do what's right according to God's word. Listen, as a leader, you're choosing life. Life not only to your ministry, but life to yourself. I mean, it'll give you a hope. I mean, give you a future when you decide to have character. But when you choose to go the other way, I'm going to tell you something. You're going to end up with a short life and a short ministry. You know, I can't stand one. I like watching television, but there's one type of movie that I don't like is horror movies. One of the reasons why, because horror movies, man, they don't make sense. You know, I don't believe in, you know, inviting the spirit of fear or stupidity to, you know, be a part of my life. Some of these things are just stupid. They are stupid from the titles. I mean, titles like, you know, I Know What You Did Last Summer, or I Know What You're Going to Do Next Summer, you know, or Scream. Now, what kind of title is that for a movie? After a while, they're going to just come out with titles like, Rawr, coming this summer, Rawr, you know. But I begin to watch some of these movies, and I begin to think about it. Some of these people that die in these movies, they deserve to die. And the reason why is because they make choices that do not bring about life. For instance, if you're in the house by yourself, you start hearing somebody talking, listen. Don't be like some of these people in these movies. They go looking for the noises. You start hearing noises in the house, don't go looking for them. Man, listen, leave out of that house as fast as you possibly can. Go to a neighbor's house. And normally what they do when they leave out the house, if they get out, they run into the woods. I don't understand that. Why run into the woods? Go to a neighbor's house with lights on. You see, the choices that they make in the movies bring about destruction in their life because they don't choose life. Listen, as leaders, we must make decisions that bring about life. Choose to have a life of character. You know, the next thing about character we need to understand is that you can never separate a leader's character from his action. You can say all day long, I have character, but your actions are going to show the character that you truly have. And then your character could cause others to flourish in life or to fail in life. You want to make sure that your character is not causing someone to fall. That people look at you as a leader and say, you know what, I was going to live for God. And listen, they should never look at a person and make that decision on you, whether they're going to live for God or not. But I believe that we should be everything that we possibly can to help them to serve God. You see, I want you to ask yourself, does your character reflect the character of Christ? If not, it is time that you take steps so that you can become the very best leader that God wants you to be. So you can be the 21st century youth leader. Number two, I believe the youth leader of the 21st century must have unwavering commitment. Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 6 says that most men will proclaim each his own goodness, but who can find a faithful man? I mean, you want to be faithful. You want leaders that have the quality, that have the characteristic of being committed. Commitment is this. It's never giving up or losing heart. I mean, you've got to have leaders that are going to stick in there whether you have 2 kids or 2,000 kids. You want to have leaders that are going to be there whether, I mean, it's raining outside or not. You want leaders that'll pay the price, people that are committed 100%, people that you know. Listen, if nobody's going to be there, I know you're going to be there. And as a leader, you want to have this kind of heart. If I'm the only one that's there, listen, I will be there. Michael Jordan made a very powerful quote one day. He says that commitment and heart is what separates the good from the great. You know, I believe that he has a right to say that because we saw him as he won six championships with the Chicago Bulls, how he had he was committed to his team. There are other teams that offered him millions of dollars. There are people there were other places, other teams he could have played for. He could have quit early on in his career, but he was committed to helping his team become the best. He committed himself to it. He never allowed himself to be distracted by other things. And you know what? That's commitment. Commitment means something different to every person. You know, to the boxer, it may mean to get up off that floor before the bell rings, you know? He may have been knocked down, but you know what? Commitment is, I'm going to get up off this floor. I'm not going to stay down here. To the marathon runner, I mean, it may mean going the extra mile. I mean, everything in your body is telling you to stop. Everything is telling this runner, you know what? You've ran enough. You know what? You ought to be happy. But to the marathon runner, it may mean going that extra mile. And to the youth leader, it may be doing whatever it takes to reach young people. I mean, if you may have to spend your own money. You may have to drive your own car. I mean, you may have to take out a mortgage, you know, second mortgage on your home, whatever it takes to make sure that young people are reached. I'm not saying anyone should do this. I'm just saying that to the youth leader, we need to do whatever it takes to reach young people. You know, my wife and I were on vacation a little over 4 years ago in Jamaica, and I was a pastor of a growing church. My church was growing, and I was excited about the things that God was doing. And the Lord spoke to me while I was in Jamaica about change was coming, was going to take place in our life. You know, now I'm going to tell you something. There's anywhere you want the Lord to speak to you, it's in Jamaica. I mean, it's a beautiful place. But the Lord spoke to me about change, and I never knew what the change that God was talking about until a few days later. The Lord was telling me that he wanted me to quit or resign as pastor of a church that my wife and I had pioneered, and he wanted me to go into full-time youth ministry. Now, I knew in order to do this, it was going to take a serious commitment because things were going great for us. Well, I mean, we were blessed, and we had a wonderful church and people that loved us, but I was committed to obeying God. You see, commitment is something that every leader want to have in their life. And I'm so glad that I've done it because now I can look over the last 4 years and I can say, praise God, I'm so happy that I made that decision. Remember I said that life is choice driven? You live or die by the choices that you make. Now we're able to do more, to make an impact on more people than we were making back then. I'm not saying that God wasn't going to do the same thing at our church, but I know that we're in the right place right now. Obeying God, reaching thousands of young people and leaders around the world with the gospel. Commitment inspires and it attracts other people. Why do we want to be commitment? Because I want to inspire someone else. I want to attract other people to the gospel. My commitment, doing what I'm doing, will help other people to live for God. You know, commitment starts in the heart. If you truly want to be committed, it's going to start with your heart. You know, I believe that if you're seeking promotion and if you're seeking other things in life, that's a principle that I learned years ago. And as I keep my heart right towards God, he will arrange situations, circumstances, and events, and he will bring me in the company of the right people, which is critical for my success. I don't have to do anything. I don't have to self-promote myself. I don't have to go out and say, hey, look at me, I'm this, I'm that. Listen, as I keep my heart right, as you keep your heart right towards God, he will begin to open up doors. He will bring you in the company of the right people, which are critical for the success of your life, your future, and your ministry. Also, commitment opens the door to promotion. I'm telling you what I'm talking about. By being committed, when I first came to Willie George Ministries, 1988, I was a volunteer person, man. I'm telling you, I was working, throwing hay down on the floor for the Gospel Bill Show, sweeping hay up, hanging up lights, running errands. But God saw my heart. God saw my commitment. And now God is using me to reach thousands of young people here every single week. And I play a very important part in this ministry. And you see, it's by being committed. I was committed at sweeping that hay up on the floor. Nobody knew me. Nobody heard of Lee Wilson. Eventually, God began to promote me to working with the ministry like Fire by Night and traveling with Blaine Bartell and now traveling all over the world, being to countries such as Australia and Japan and Africa. And who knows where else God is going to carry us. But I believe all the promotion, all the blessings of the Lord that's in my life, I can trace it back Two, the commitment of serving God and keeping my heart right. So I challenge you, worker. I challenge you, youth leader, to keep your heart right towards God. It will cause you to be promoted. Be committed to the things. You see, when it comes to commitment, I can see several types of people. I've seen several types of people within the youth ministry. They're your cop-outs. These are people who do not commit to anything. They always cop out at the last minute. They are out of there, man. They're not going to stick to it. And so these people are expected to be around. Number two, they're holdouts. These are people who are afraid to commit. They'll keep saying, I'm going to do it. And they may show up every now and then, but I'm going to tell you something. They are afraid of truly committing. And they're going to hold out. And you know what? You don't want to spend your time constantly, you know, going after them. Then there are dropouts. These are people who quit when things get tough. They start working. They start getting committed. When everything is going fine, when all the kids are praising God, all the numbers are there, when things are maybe not be as high or as excited as it always been, then you know what? They say, you know what? The Lord is moving me on. It's amazing how they always use the Lord to move them on to something else. But these people, dropouts, will quit when things get tough, when things are not as smooth. And then the fourth type of person that you see in youth ministry, these are what I call the sold-out people. These are people who stick with it no matter what. These are the kind of leaders that we want. These are the kind of workers we want to get involved. This is the quality of worker we want to see involved in our youth ministry. You see, it's easy to make a commitment, but it's harder to live it. So we must understand this, that everybody will come and everybody will say, oh, yeah, I'm going to do this. I'm going to stick to it. And you don't ever want to find yourself saying, I'm going to commit to it, but then giving up. It's a lot easier to make it. It's a lot harder to live the commitment. And quality number three, I believe this is the third and one of the most important qualities that every leader must have in their life in reaching young people. This is what we must have. The 21st century youth leader must display unbelievable passion. Philippians chapter 1, Paul says something here in verse number 21. He says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. What a passion. This is so exciting to see the passion that Paul had for the ministry, for Christ, for God. This is what we want in our lives as leaders, as workers. This is the kind of commitment. This is the kind of characteristic you want to see in your leaders and in your workers, a passion. Here's what a passion is. A passion is something that you love. It's something that you love more than life. I'm telling you, I love youth ministry. I love young people. I love preaching the gospel. I am passionate about it. You see, the difference in successful people and unsuccessful people is their passion. They don't have a passion for anything. Unsuccessful people, they just live their life day by day. They go to work every day. They live from paycheck to paycheck. I mean, they get up the same way every day. They go to sleep the same way every night. I mean, they're just like their life is just hopeless. I mean, they have no passion. Listen, if you want to truly ever accomplish and be successful in life, get a passion for something. And you know what? If you're going to work with young people, you must have a passion for teenagers. You know that more than 50% of the millionaires in America never finish college? They never finish college. And what's awesome about that is that they may not have the education to do what they did, but they had a passion to become the best at something. And because of that, it pushed them, their passion pushed them to be the owner of a company, to invent some incredible invention. You know, passion is incredible. I did some research the other day and found out that Colonel Sanders of Kentucky Fried Chicken was turned down 1,009 times. They told him that his chicken, the recipe for his chicken, was not good enough. Well, we know that this man had passion. 1,009 times? Listen, they told him that he would not succeed. We've all found that out to be a lie, that his chicken, the Kentucky Fried Chicken, is an incredible recipe. And I mean, that chicken, as they said, is finger-licking good, you know? So, you see, you got to have a passion for something. A passion, something that you love, something that is first and foremost. And I believe our first passion should be for Jesus Christ. Nearly 75% of our U.S. presidents were in the bottom of their class in high school. But because they had a passion to be leaders, a passion to do something with their lives, they became president. You see, if passion is not a quality in your life, I want you to know this. You're in trouble as a leader. So make sure that every leader you have, make sure you as a leader that you're walking with a passion for young people, that you're not just doing it day by day. You're just doing it out of routine, but you're passionate about it. I get up every morning passionate. I go to sleep every night passionate about young people. What can I do next, Lord, to reach young people? As we close, I want you to hear these things about passion. You can't lead something that you're not passionate for or passionate about. You're never going to be a true leader if you don't have passion for that you're supposed to be a leader in. Also, associate yourself with people of passion. That's one thing I do. I associate myself with other people that are passionate about reaching young people. And then there is absolutely, know this, there's absolutely no substitute for passion. How passionate you are about youth ministry will determine how successful you will be as a 21st century youth worker and youth leader. Take these things, apply them to your life, put them in your life as a leader, put them in your life, put them in your program as a youth worker, making sure that every leader that comes in, that they have these qualities in their lives.
You've been listening to the teaching ministry of Lee Wilson. For more information, write